Guten Tag, Herr. We're in Rheinland-Pfalz, close to the Eiffel Mountains, nearby the Nürburgring Castle for the 9th race of the season, the Grossen Preis von Deutschland. Having been part of the F1 Championship since 1951, the original track of over 22 miles named the Green Hell by Jackie Stewart included the Nordschleife and Südschleife loops. However, this version of the circuit was built in 1984. This host country is proud of all the technical accomplishments of drivers and teams past and present. It's the corporate home of the Mercedes Works team, motherland for last week's winner, and fatherland for the current World Drivers' Champion, who has this race on his shopping list of need-to-dos. Will the Silver Arrows Fahrer in P1 take the win? Will the Golden Boy Der Wunderkind be victorious? Will the Pirellis last the duration? Stay achtung, listeners! This is Desiree, your Formula One Fräulein, und das ist F1 Weekly German Grand Prix Racecast. Auf Wiedersehen.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 631, July 16th, 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Jägermeister, the best of Germania since the days and nights of Junkers.
Thank you, Nas. On today's program, forget Kimi, it could be Daniel Ricciardo, and maybe even this year. Can Lotus win a Grand Prix this season? It's getting close. And why does Ferrari continue to stick with Felipe Massa, and of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. I just would like to thank you once again on the air for inviting me and my buddy, Mr. James Trump, to a wonderful festival of what was that?
It was some. It's called Bastille Day.
Bastille Day, the Libération of Vive la France.
Exactly. So, la Révolution.
And what better place to hold a festival for France than Santa Cruz?
Exactly.
And those old Citroëns and Peugeot and the burritos were fantastic.
Thank you, Nas. You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed the festivities. But we're here for serious business, and that would be the German Grand Prix. Achtung!
Yeah, talking of Germany, I was going to bring you some fine Beck's beer to celebrate Bastille Day, but the local 7-Eleven was out of it. They were totally full of Coronas.
I believe that, and I would have preferred a nice 33 Cronenberg, you know,
Stella Artois.
1664.
Okay.
So there you have it, Nas, but I'm glad you had a fun time. Let's talk about qualifying the German Grand Prix. Very, very interesting stuff. And as usual, Williams is stinking up the whole grid as far as I'm concerned. But
there is hope for them now.
There is hope for them, and let's talk about the big news.
Susie Stoddart is going to be testing. That's the main news for me.
You mean Susie Wolf, Nasser?
Oh, excusez-moi. Susie Wolf, yes.
Susie Wolf will be testing in Silverstone. Pat Simmons is now in, and Coughlin is out.
Yeah, you know, he is heading to the nearest Kinko's in Kensington to fax his resume. You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, but still.
Worked out last time.
Well, I mean, and once again, Williams had another KERS, or what do you call it? Kinetic Energy Recovery System. Fiasco or disaster in the pits, in the garage. Not sure what's going on there. It wasn't as bad as last year in Barcelona. But still, they need to get their act together. And I think Pat Simmons is the perfect person to get these guys back on the road with so much experience between Fernando, Fernando and Fernando.
Let me tell you, this guy, I really would like to interview him. He worked with three drivers before they ever won a race. Listen to the names. Ayrton Senna, Fernando Alonso, Michael Schumacher.
I'm sure, you know, the only reason why he hasn't been rehired, and we know why, and it's because your friend Pique and his big mouth.
Yes, big mouth. Can I hear the name of that team, please?
The Renault.
Oh, excusez-moi. Thieves in the Temple.
Ah, sacré bleu, but still.
But, you know, I'll tell you, Williams has a very historic presence in Formula One motor racing, very successful. I'm very disappointed to see that they were not able to carry forward and move forward the form they had last year. Because, you know, once Pastor Maldonado won a race, he shut up a lot of people. And to win it ahead of Alonso, which was a very impressive win, and they have a young, what you call a whippersnapper in Valtteri Bottas. So they have the drivers to make things happen, if they have, but they don't have the package.
No, and it's a shame because we all thought when Renault signed on to be...
No, you thought.
Yeah, that's true. Signed on to be the engine supplier to Williams, we thought maybe we would go back to the vintage days of glory and hallelujah. That certainly isn't the course for them because both Valtteri Bottas and Pastor Maldonado are keeping company with Charles Peak, Jules Bianchi of Marussia, and Jenson Button's new best friend, Guido Vandegarde.
Yes. He thought he had problems with Sergio Perez.
It's great stuff, isn't it? Oh, and of course, Max Chilton last. But still, to see Williams grouped together with Marussia and Caterham.
Well, Marussia is serious business. That car goes fast even without the driver.
Exactly.
But talking of Guido Vandegarde, Jenson Button made some sort of a comment like that he's happy they fought so gallantly for 19th spot on the grid, in the race.
Yes. No, fascinating stuff. But qualifying was pretty exciting. And, of course, Q2... another big, big blow to a team. Usually Ross Brawn has his act together, but as Nico Rosberg, for some reason, just sat in the car and watches times drop.
Yeah, but
and
you know,
he was out of Q2.
Yeah, but you know, the way Mercedes has been going, in, especially in qualifying, looks like they have a quick package, but it's not all the time. And I think that Mr. Vettel better win a few races more before Mercedes gets very strong, both in quali and in racing. It's going to happen sooner or later.
That's very true.
And they have the peeps to make it happen.
I totally agree, but that was terrible news for Nico Rosberg. Pol d'Arista and Adrian Sutil failed to get into Q3. But really, I think for me, the big talk is not only is Danny Ricciardo going testing next weekend in Silverstone, but his qualifying in this German Grand Prix was outstanding. I mean, come on, let's face it. Sixth on the grid.
In a Toro Rosso. Only thing better than that is on pole in the rain at Monza.
That, well, we can't have everything, okay, Nasser?
Yeah.
But those days will come. I think Danny is doing what he needs to do.
You know, I have spoken to a couple of racing drivers who raced against Daniel Ricciardo, whatever, or Ricky Bobby, whatever the name is, in Junior Formulae, and these kids were like, wow, this guy is really, really good. And these were decent racing drivers talking. So I think he could be a very good mate at Red Bull for Bastian.
I think he could be a very good mate also for Fernando Alonso at Ferrari.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because there is a Ferrari motor in the Toro Rosso, Nasser.
I don't think Fernando would like him. Who knows? He could be the Australian. The last thing he needs is an Australian LCH.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think he wants him or Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, but what about Ferrari as a team? Now, I admit, Massa out-qualifies Fernando Alonso in this qualifying session, but it doesn't add up to a big hill of beans after a couple of laps in the Grand Prix. Now, another...
Gee, why am I not surprised?
Nobody's surprised anymore. The problem is, when is Montezemolo going to start listening to Flavio Briatore, which I'm sure has called him a number of times and said, let's get going here?
Well, I'm sure they're trying their best.
No, I'm sure they're trying their best. Yeah. But still, an interesting qualifying with Fernando in 8th place, Felipe Massa in 7th place, and a very good qualifying for both Lotus F1 drivers, Kimi Raikkonen and Romain Grosjean, right behind him in 5th place.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive, and of course, the LCH, you know, just pulled it out of the bag. 1 minute left on the clock. I think it was 1 minute 11. Everybody does their final fast laps. Looked like it was going to be another German on the pole.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about last time. And the 2 poles in a row for LCH. A win has to come sooner or later. And Bastian on being front row guaranteed a very great opening lap.
Absolutely. It was going to be an exciting opening lap for only 2 problems. Red Bull on the left, Red Bull on the right.
Cannon to your left, cannon to your right.
Correct. That was a little bit of a bummer. I think Mercedes also needs to work on their starts. Because it certainly wasn't a 2006 Renault that I remember that blasted off with Fernando. Remember those days?
Oh, yes, very well.
So exciting.
Absolutely.
Whew, God, I love it.
Nando will always go down in history as the man who dethroned Michael Schumacher.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's just... enough said, you know what I mean?
Okay, so we don't have to go into that too
much.
No,
I mean, if you're dethroning, it's like Bastian goes 4 or 5 in a row. That's and somebody, 4 in a row is happening. I have a very strong feeling. And I think what's going to happen here is inter-team rivalry at Mercedes. If they kept going, Lewis wins a race, and then one day Rosberg wins a race. So things are just like coming together for him. So I think it's just going to be a fantastic season.
Absolutely, absolutely. And both Red Bulls, Sebastian Vettel in 2nd and Mark Webber in 3rd. We've got a great German Grand Prix ahead of us. And Sebastian Vettel has already spoken and said, you know, he needs to win his home Grand Prix. The fans want him to win. And there's a lot of German drivers in this lineup. We've got Nico Hülkenberg, who did a pretty good job. P10, Q3. We've got your friend, Adrian Sutil, with the champagne glass. Outstanding job. We've got your friend Nico Rosberg, and we've got Sebastian Vettel. And I'm surprised Schumacher was Schumacher visiting. What was going on there?
No, I think he was at some. I think he was at some other event, but I read a news item that he will be watching it.
He'll be watching it
on TV.
That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
But you know the interesting thing. But then I've been a fan of this gentleman for a long time. Also. Starting well was the man we were dissing last time, Romain Grosjean.
That's very true. We were talking about him not being on the team. And to be honest with you, I know there's a lot of talk about Kimi going to Red Bull. Kimi being an anti-establishment, anti-authority kind of a guy, I bet you he scoffs at all these rumors and stays at Lotus F1.
No, but, you know, Red Bull is famous for letting drivers do what they want to do. I don't think they're going to, because, you know, they've always been like that, do what you got to do.
That's so very true.
Yeah, and I think if they let him do, whether he appears or not, he's in the news anyway. He does very well, and if he has a competitive car, he's going to rattle some cages.
So I know that's what you want to see, but I have a feeling he's going to stay at Lotus F1. Why don't you give us some more stats?
I think he's going to go to, I have a feeling that he will go, and I've been hearing some, you know, it's on the web all over that Eric Bouye is saying they have a plan B. And now there is, you know, Nico Hülkenberg management has canceled his contract with Sauber. His name is being linked with Lotus. I mean, I was sent an email by somebody who goes to all the races. I'm not talking about a family member. And they said that the rumor out there that Felipe Nasser may be in Formula One next year. Lotus, I think, is preparing for life after Kimi. The only way I think he won't go if he prices himself out of a deal at Red Bull, like it happened with McLaren. So I think he'll go, and looks like there'll be a lot of shifting of the sand. And I want to see a new driver at Ferrari also, by the way.
I would like to see a new driver at Ferrari, and I'm sure all the Tifosi would like to see something to team up with Fernando. That can, you know, haul in some points.
Yeah.
You know, so do you have any more stats on this qualifying session?
I don't think so.
That's it? Nothing exciting?
No, nothing exciting.
Well, that's good for you, Nasser. And I do have some more news. Marussia is now going to be supplied with Ferrari engines for 2014.
Yeah, that's interesting news. That is interesting news. Well, I like that.
How long can you stay with a Cosworth?
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think that's good news for Marussia. They might have a few steps forward in maybe putting it to Caterham and Williams.
Yeah. Among the new kids in town, our man Bottas has out-qualified much more experienced in Grand Prix winner teammate Pastor Maldonado, 6-3, so there you have some stat. And Jules Bianchi has out-qualified Max Chilton, 8-1.
Yes.
And Max Chilton, Papito, has Buco Box. Good for him. And at your favorite team, Caterham, the score is 6-3 in favor of Charles Peak over Jensen's new buddy, Giga, Guido van der Garde. And this is interesting. You know, both being German, Sebastian Vettel and Nico Hülkenberg remain the only two drivers who have out-qualified their teammates in each and every race of the season so far.
Outstanding, Nasser.
So, yeah, therein people say that Red Bull favors Sebastian Vettel. You know what? If you have two drivers in a team, even in Formula Ford, the team will gravitate to the guy or the gal who is faster on a regular basis.
I understand that.
So it's Bastian, you know, is good.
You know what Pastor Maldonado says about Valtteri Bottas?
What does he say?
He says that the
car... He's cute.
Well, that and the car suits him better than it does Crashado.
Yeah, well, that's what they say when you get out-qualified. But Bottas is very good. But, you know, I have to say, Maldonado, as many tangles he has gotten involved in, that win was very impressive. And I hope he has more before he returns to Caracas or wherever he's from. Maracaibo, I believe.
I believe he's... yes, exactly.
It's good for Latin American fans. And, you know,
oh, absolutely.
I want to see him do well.
I'd like to see a race in Venezuela.
That would be good.
I think so. It would be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you have it.
They've had Caracas Grand Prix, Cuban Grand Prix, you know, sports car races. So more motor racing, the better it is.
Exactly. So anyway, let's move on. Let's go to the Grand Prix. It was a gorgeous day. Warmer weather suited the Lotus F1s. I think we have to talk about the tires. Of course, now we're going with Kevlar tires. And there's no switching the tires or flipping them, where you're taking a asymmetrical tire and turning it into a symmetrical tire. They're really asymmetrical tires, and you have to stick with that. And Pirelli, I guess basically this was a 2012 compound.
Well, they just told the team, this is a tire, not a burger. Don't flip it.
Ah, keep up the good work, Nass. Anyway, the lights go out, and it's an outstanding start for LCH. I think LCH has a good start. The problem, the two Renaults.
Oh, they're Renaults now.
Well, if you look at the power, it says Renault. And the Red Bull Renaults were so fast off the start. This was an unbelievable, unbelievable start for Sebastian Vettel. Both of them went around. LCH didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and, you know, that pretty much decided the race as far as I was concerned. I had an inkling that if LCH takes off like Nico has been doing, then maybe this is his day. But when the Red Bulls ganged up on LCH, it was over.
It was over, and Sebastian Vettel decided then and there that he's going to do it for the fatherland.
Yes.
First lap, and he's already 0.7 seconds ahead of teammate Mark Webber. And my favorite part was on lap two when Sergio Perez tells Jenson Button to go ahead and take a bite of the in-flight burrito because I'm going round. It was beautiful. You know, Sergio is always messing with Jenson Button.
This guy has really, really impressed me, I'll tell you. Look at guys like Romain Grosjean, who was so coming marching through the system, Esteban Gutierrez, and here is this guy, you know. I mean, I remember when he was in Formula BMW, nowhere to be seen. And here he is. And even when his last year, I think him and Maldonado came into Formula One same time. He won a few races, but he was totally overpowered that season by Maldonado. But now to see him go like this, it's very impressive.
It is very impressive, especially since Jenson Button held his own against LCH.
Oh, yeah.
So now...
And then some.
And then some.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we don't know what's going on in the Button camp. But his father continues to wear the pink shirts. Lap four, one of your favorite drivers in the world, of course, Felipe Massa.
Oh, yes. Obrigado.
Spins stalls the car. There's no damage, but I thought he was a professional, Nasser. What is going on in this man's brain?
Look, he's won a lot of races, almost won a championship, so with all due respect to that, I really think Ferrari, just my personal opinion, should use the rest of the season bringing in somebody, whether it's Bottas, Ricciardo, Jules Bianchi, and get them prepped for the next season in that car.
I totally agree. I completely agree. And I believe that Montezemolo has become too soft.
Maybe he's getting softy in his older.
Flavio wouldn't have put up with this.
Oh, Flavio would have tried 3-4 drivers by now.
Exactly. So I'm really stunned that this is going on, but there you have it. On lap 4, Mark Webber is flying. He's keeping up with his teammate, and the gap is now 1.1 seconds. And pretty soon the DRS window will be open. And poor Lewis Hamilton, you know, he's just stunned that he's watching these Red Bulls off.
Nothing he can do. It has to be very frustrating, you know. And I really keep thinking, every time I read about Sebastian Vettel's achievement, some stats I gathered here, I think of that comment David Hobbs said one day when Vettel had won a race and LCH was on the podium, that Lewis must be wondering, you know, what happened? This guy is having the career I was supposed to have. And if you look at it the other day, I was thinking, it's been quite a few years now since LCH won a championship.
Oh, yeah.
5 years.
Yeah, well, look at Fernando.
Yeah. But he has two back-to-back.
Yeah, that two.
And a lot of victories and a couple of very near misses.
And a couple of girlfriends, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's doing very well on that front, too.
Yes. Lap 6, Gary Anderson comments, Lewis did not have the confidence to go into the corner, then hits the brakes, so he lost out on both Vettel and Webber, talking about the start of the Grand Prix. I also liked how Daniel Ricciardo, qualifying so well at the start of this race, you know, he's dicing it up with the big boys.
Yeah.
Not the Crashados. He's up there dicing it up with Fernando Alonso, el hombre más macho.
Yeah, he
that was impressive.
Yeah, yeah, he's
clean driving,
yeah.
Good fighting. I thought it was great. Team Radio, lap 7, Romain Grosjean, I am quicker than Kimi. I am quicker than Kimi. What is he trying to say here? That, you know, doesn't he understand? Numero dos, numero uno.
Yeah, you know, but I have to say, you know, again, as a reference to Sergio Perez, I think drivers who have been quick in the recent past, especially him and Esteban Gutierrez, they just need a little bit, maybe more of a gelling time than other people.
Very
because
true.
You have the speed, you keep that. And I think in better, we'll see how good this guy is if Kimi is not there. And they have, let's say they put Nico Hülkenberg and he has the upper hand.
That's true. That's true. Then you and I can be quiet about Romain.
There you go.
No, I like that. And quickly, lap 7, Lewis Hamilton pits from 3rd, getting rid of those soft tires because they're really only good for 5 or 6 laps. And he comes back in at 10th place, just ahead of Crashado. Lap 9, Mark Webber pits for a new set of tires, and he could well join ahead of Sebastian Vettel, who is in traffic, but there's a problem. What's going on here, Nasser? Vettel, perfect pit stops all the time. Mark Webber, follow the bouncing tire.
This was very scary. And some guy, a cameraman, was injured. And now they have put a ban on non-essential and cameramen in the pit lane. Which,
yeah, but what I thought
had
was,
to happen.
It was an FOM cameraman. Everything has to be documented.
Oh, yeah,
so that cameraman will still be in the paddock.
Yeah. No, but not in the pit lane during a race.
During the race, yes. So that was tragic. That was frightening. And that was pretty much the end of Mark Webber's Grand Prix.
But you know, whatever happened to those wheel tethers they used to?
I don't know what happened to tethers.
I just don't get it now.
I guess when you're changing tires, you can't have the tethers.
It was already put on, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't snugly.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen accident where the wheel is flying off. And
well, look at Surtees' son.
Yeah.
With a flying tire.
Yeah.
So it can be quite scary. Lap 11, Romain Grosjean is now leading the German Grand Prix.
That was good.
That was good. That was exciting. Lotus is exciting. And I think this new brand of tire and the high temperatures suits the Lotuses.
Yeah, and you know, this guy can win a race in certain circumstances. And I think if there is some rain-affected race, especially in the last 10, 15 laps, I will not be surprised if Hülkenberg can pull out a shock win in the rain.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Lap 14, Lewis Hamilton gets past Nico Rosberg for sixth and immediately pulls away. Rosberg not having a great day. Kimi Raikkonen gets out on the act, pulling off a supreme move around the outside end of the German at the final chicane. Very impressive. Nico Rosberg not having a great day. And we talked about how these new tires, the 2012 compound, might suit other teams and bring other teams down. And I think Mercedes still has great qualifying pace on the softs, but race pace is still miserable.
It's amazing, you know, how performance can vary so much from race to race. Sometimes it's rear tires, sometimes it's front tires, sometimes it's this issue or that issue. I mean, it's just we just don't see those super uber domination this season.
I agree. Lap 16, Romain Grosjean is now only 3.4 seconds away from Sebastian Vettel, and we still got 44 laps to go. Lap 17, I have no grip, man, says Lewis Hamilton, whining and crying. And he does this occasionally about the tires, about the Pirellis. I had a fantasy that what if we had Formula One where really the tires were insignificant, they would last 30 laps, you changed once, and you finished the race, and everybody would be racing flat out. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, it used to be the case some years ago.
Yeah? Huh. Maybe I just don't remember anymore, because I thought that would be interesting instead of babying these tires, but we'll see what happens.
You know, we want racing drivers to go flat out, and this not good.
No. Lap 20, Romain Grosjean is now really starting to catch up with Sebastian Vettel. Lap 23, Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, man, you got to talk about lap 21, Jules Bianchi.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're like his manager.
That was bizarre, man. And interestingly, you know, the car rolling to the track sound driver, and according to Autosport magazine, this was the first time since Harama 1970 that a driverless car was on the track. So I'll have to do a YouTube and see what happened there. But I remember there's a...
It's interesting because... don't forget, the drivers almost went on strike if the Pirellis were not going to perform correctly. And that, the last time that happened, I believe, was in South Africa
as
well.
1982.
So what's going on here?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a one time, I think it's the South African Grand Prix, and I believe it was Mark Schurer or maybe before him. But anyway, the guy is basically on the side of the track, and for a short while he drives the other way, then zips around. I mean, Formula One used to be very different than what it is right now.
That's very
true.
But
this was strange, you know, so much fire. They had to call out to him, car is on fire, get out.
Yeah, well, what I don't understand, if your car is on fire, I don't think you have to worry about putting the steering wheel back on. But he came back, put the steering wheel back on, walked away. You know, I hate to say it, Marussia's fastest lap was that one lap when when it was driver-free.
When they crossed the track at lightning speed?
Some people called it the drone lap.
Whoa. Sounds very familiar to me.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought you might be sensitive to that.
No. I have thick skin.
Good for you. So, no, that was pretty exciting. And, yeah, you know... I felt sorry for Jules Bianchi because he's trying to impress the higher teams.
Yeah.
Like Ferrari. He'd like to take Massa's seat, don't you think?
Yeah. But, you know, talking of being sensitive, every time I see a green color Hummer on the road, I just have nightmare. Oh, why am I in Waziristan?
That's very, very true. We have a safety car because of the driverless car rolling down the road backwards. You know, the safety car is sort of... I think a pain in the bootay. Mark Webber, and what's really funny is the safety car now, most of it is just waiting for Mark Webber to catch up to the back of the field.
Lucky dog, as they call it.
Is that
NASCAR.
What it is? It's a lucky dog?
Yeah, you get your lap back.
That's so exciting. We get back to Ration.
To what?
Ration.
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 Wow, that's a new one for me.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, boogity, boogity.
Oh, yes.
Boogity. Lap 35, Lotus has really come to the top. The creme has risen after a lackluster few Grand Prix for Romain Grosjean. He is very impressive in this Grand Prix. He is sticking with Kimi Raikkonen and not making any mistakes. So I think he is trying to tell upper management, you know, you don't need Kimi. I am the man from France.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting. On lap 37, Nico Hülkenberg pits from sixth, which means that Lewis Hamilton finally gets some clean air because he was getting annoyed. Jenson Button, not having a great day.
No, he's
well, you know,
he's Guido'd. He was Guido'd in the German Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's what he called it. I don't like drivers that are blaming other drivers at the end of a Grand Prix and going, oh, you know, he's without, you know, because of him, I couldn't do nothing from nothing, which left nothing.
Well, that's where you have to quote Robbie Gordon. Hey, if you're faster than me, pass me. Which is true.
That's true. Which I like, which is what Perez does.
Yeah, remember I was famous when DC once complained, I think it was Enrique Bernoulli who held him up for many, many laps. Hey, there was another driver who was running ahead of DC when he came up to Bernoulli. He had no problem passing him. He took care of him very quickly. And DC is very good friends with his younger brother.
That's very true, very true. Lap 45, Sebastian Vettel sets the fastest lap of the race, then passes Lewis Hamilton for fourth place. And next up on the road is Jenson Button, has only stopped once. He was going for the long Grand Prix. Lap 46, Red Bull's Mark Webber has climbed up the 13th as he continues to try and rescue his afternoon. Lewis Hamilton, meanwhile, pits for the final time and rejoins in 10th place. So Lewis, I mean, he's dealing what he has to deal with. He's not comfortable in the car. He has issues with the brakes. We could call it Hitco, whatever. But still, he's trying. Lap 47, Kimi Raikkonen's race engineer tells him, you must only talk after turn 12. I don't even understand that.
I think they were having some radio communication.
Correct, correct. He could hear them. They can't hear him. That always brings up some good stuff from Kimi.
Oh, yeah.
Quality commentary.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Mend speaks little, but it's very, very worth listening to.
Yeah. Lap 48, Lotus asks Kimi Raikkonen, can you go to the end, Kimi? Kimi replies, I told you! Why use 10 words when you can just use 3, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, quality. I like it. It's almost like simple engineering. You know, why babble on?
Yeah, yes, no, not my problem. That's the Kimi vocabulary.
Absolutely outstanding stuff. Lap 50, Kimi Raikkonen is in the pits. He's chosen the soft tire, so he will be mighty quick in the closing stages. And this is going to be, finally, and this is where these Grand Prix on these Pirellis get exciting. It's the last 10 laps when people are finally realizing, okay, now we can go racing. So these last 10 laps are pretty fun. I liked it, and I really thought that Kimi Raikkonen could have won this Grand Prix. I was very disappointed with Fernando Alonso not getting on the podium, because we expect him on the podium, Nasser.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is expected every race.
But a fantastic Grand Prix for Romain Grosjean. Lap 52, Fernando Alonso sets the fastest lap of the race. He's in fourth. He's lapping 1.4 seconds faster than race leader Sebastian Vettel. And Lotus tells Romain Grosjean that Kimi is coming up very quickly behind him. Do not hold him up. In other words, numero uno, numero dos. Clear, no arguments. So I thought that was very nice, very nice. Lap 54, Sebastian Vettel is doing a fantastic job of making his way through some traffic. And with six laps remaining, Kimi Raikkonen is on a charge. So it looks like Vettel has this in the bagata. Sebastian Vettel has this in the bag. Fantastic Grand Prix. The German wins in Germany. Still a fantastic race. I thought that Lotus looked fantastic. And if Lotus F1 could win a Grand Prix, maybe in Hungary, I could change Kimi's mind. He could stay.
Yeah, but I think he's smart enough to look at how many races are won by Red Bull. And, you know, talking of Lotus, Romain Grosjean, how do you think his career would have gone had he not signed up with Flavio? Because he was very, very successful in just like Nico Hülkenberg, he won anything and everything he raced in. I was thinking today, you know, how his career would have turned out had he not signed with Flavio.
Well, Flavio is very important in a lot of people's careers, including Mark Webber.
That is true. But I think he really got it done with, just like Red Bull got it done with Sebastian Vettel, Flavio made it happen with Nando.
He did. I mean, he had Nando when he needed Nando.
Yeah.
Good timing, just like when he had Schumacher.
Yeah. But let's not forget, you know, both Red Bull and Flavio went through a lot of chop before they find before a gem turned into a real shining diamond.
Oh, there's no doubt. Really,
because both have screwed up a lot of careers. Also, I mean, Robert Wickens the guy used to be with Red Bull, they let him go, you know, just because he didn't do well. He didn't finish high in Formula 2 because his car broke down in several races. They quickly forgot first two races he was on pole, and I think he won both of them. I mean, the guy had a tremendous season, but they still cut him loose.
Yeah, and he's winning in DTM now.
Yeah.
So he had a good weekend, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so keep up the good work there. But an exciting race, I think, with DRS, it almost looked like that Kimi could pass him. He was within 1.1 seconds, I think. I mean, it was almost done. But still, a great podium with both Lotus boys up there. Eric Brulier, a very happy camper. We have to give credit to Mark Webber, finishing 8th. After that miserable pit stop. Of course, the cameraman went to the hospital, but he was going to be okay quickly.
Yeah, and you know, victory is number one in the fatherland, like you said, for Bastian, but he's up to 30 wins from 110 starts. And I was looking at the Formula One official website. This includes 39 pole positions. 110 starts include 39 pole positions. And the kid has 52 podium finishes from 110 races. That's very impressive and very scary.
It was. Sergio Perez finished 7th, an outstanding job. So a great Grand Prix. I thought it was exciting with the foul pit stop, the driverless Marussia. It was a very, very nice race. Once again, Ferrari lose a lot of points with Felipe Massa spinning and dropping out of this Grand Prix. I think that is got to tell people in management that they need some changes at Ferrari before they can salvage this season and get as many points as possible. They're losing millions of dollars, Nas.
Upper management at Ferrari is one word, Montezemolo. Massa outqualified his teammate, which by now must feel like winning a race, but then to spin out while lying in sixth and running ahead of Nando is not what they're looking for from a good, reliable second driver.
No, obviously, if he can't handle the pressure, I mean, if you're going to qualify your Machismo teammate, you should be able to handle the pressure. I mean, unless it was a failure of the Ferrari, which nobody has reported, this was completely driver error.
Yeah. Well, he's got the same problem as Romain Grosjean, the teammate, is making him, it's, you know, like the rearview mirror objects in mirror
up here.
So that's the problem with them, you know. The teammate, you know, ahead are much faster. And guy I would like to see would be a good match at Ferrari and a good match for the team and for the brand. And, you know, they sell a lot of cars in UK would be R. Jens. I think Jensen Button will fit in very well there.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
He's really their driver.
No, he's true.
Kind of like the modern-day Peter Collins or Mike Hawthorn, you know.
No, that's very, very true.
And they've done very well with British drivers over the years. You know, they've had British engineers and this and that. So I would really, not that I have anything against Felipe Massa, but I would like to see another driver at either a young one or a JB or somebody who can take the fight to numero uno.
That would be exciting.
Yeah.
And Jensen Button has no chance against Fernando.
Well, you never know. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'll tell you, I was at the 2004 San Marino Grand Prix, and that's where Jensen had his first ever pole position in a Bar Honda. And the first 10, 12 laps, he was holding up Michael Schumacher in that season. And so, you know, you have to have the right car to deliver the results. I mean, where would Sebastian Vettel would be today if he was a Williams driver for the last 3 years? And this goes for everybody, not just, you know, I'm just giving as an example. But would you like to hear a little bit about laps completed up to and including German Grand Prix?
I was hoping you'd have some of that.
Yeah, we have a few things here. A total of 553 laps have been run thus far in the championship. Top of the heap in laps completed are two drivers with very different style of driving. And this is interesting. Just goes to show there's more than one way to skin Nicole Scherzinger. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Kimi Raikkonen and LCH both have completed all but one lap. And I think that one lap was like a lap down, especially for Kimi. And I think it's the same thing with Lewis. Bottas and Button are next. Both have completed 549 laps each. This is very good for Bottas to get all this mileage in his rookie year in the absence of decent testing opportunities. Championship leader Vettel is fifth in this department, having completed 542 laps. He does spend a lot of laps in the lead, which is good for him and not for the competition. The big surprise is Max Chilton. He is sixth, having completed 541 of 553 laps in his Marussia. And again, with not much testing, this is very good going. And the championship points, sir, would you like to start with who's leading, since he's powered by a Renault?
Sebastian Vettel.
157 points. Your hero, your god, your hombre. Nando second with 123 points. Raikkonen third, 116. Lewis Hamilton fourth on 99. Weber completes the top five with 93 points. Rosberg is sixth with 84. Massa is next with 57. Grosjean is eighth on 41. Paul di Resta is ninth with 36. And JB completes the top 10 with 33 points. So look at the difference between teammates. Raikkonen 116, Grosjean 41. And this was what, like round 9 of the championship? So you think, any idea what the spread will be after 19 races? That's pretty sad. And Massa 57 and Nando 123. That's very, very sad.
It's telling.
I don't know why Ferrari is still hanging on to this gentleman. Nice guy, but, you know, it's time for a change, you know. And there are seven drivers sitting, in cricket language, on a duck. When you score nothing, it's called a duck in cricket. They are Maldonado, your hero, and his teammate Bottas, Esteban Gutierrez, Jules Bianchi, and his teammate Max Chilton, Charles Pic, and his teammate Guido Fandegare. You know, there is so much of silly season news coming. Who will be there? And we have to talk about a new comrade in orbit in Formula One, Sergei Sirotkin. You've probably heard that news about Sauber. But what we're going to do is do a little break here, and then with your express written consent.
Of course.
And then we'll come back with a brief history of F1 in Germania and Motorsports Mondial.
So that we'll go ahead and put the history of Germania in the Motorsports Mondial. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charon region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charon. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and greetings. Hope everybody's doing well.
Absolutely.
And we shall start with a little history of German Grand Prix, of Formula One in Germany. A
lot of history in Germany.
Yes, sir. We're talking Formula One here, not Junkers and Messerschmitt.
I like the comment on the Junkers at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Oh,
night
yeah.
And day.
Oh, yeah. Very important. Okay. Next time I'll bring the Stuka siren for the next German Grand Prix.
That's beautiful.
Okay, sir. Here we go. The F1 German Grand Prix first appeared on the calendar in 1951, with victory going to Signor Alberto Ascari in a Ferrari. This was, I believe, his first Grand Prix win, I think. Fangio's victory in 1957 is regarded as one of the greatest motor racing triumphs. It was also the last Grand Prix win for him in the iconic and beautiful Maserati 250F. I'd like to know where that car is today. Which museum? Maybe it's at Donington, I'm not sure, but I would love to see this car. It was the 1955 Mille Miglia winning Mercedes. Only to see that car, I went to the Mercedes Museum some years ago. I want to see this car also.
Well, let's Google it.
We shall Google it. Between 1961 and 1965, the German Grand Prix was won by British drivers 5 years in a row. Moss, Hill, Surtees twice, and Clark. So that's a pretty impressive British showing in Germany. And from 1986 to 1990, there was another Dave Brubeck moment, take five in a row, this time for Boys of Brazil. Piquet winning in 1986 and 87, and Senna taking a hat trick of wins, 88 to 90, with his McLaren Honda. And I'm looking forward to that combination again. The 1997 edition saw the final Grand Prix win for the driver and the team, this being Gerhard Berger and Benetton, respectively. Interestingly, Berger also gave Benetton their first ever win back in 1986 in Mexico. And you know what tires he was on?
Pirellis.
Exactly. Good guess. Three tracks have played host to the Grosse Preis von Deutschland: Nürburgring, Hockenheimring, and Avos Street Track in Berlin, which was used only once in 1959 when the winner was Tony Brooks, a gentleman we have interviewed, ahead of two California men, Dan Gurney and Phil Hill. All three were driving for Enzo. And Mario Andretti of Nazareth, PA, remains the only American winner from 1978 Grand Prix at Hockenheim Ring in his beautiful JPS Lotus. Have you ever been to a Grand Prix or any of the German tracks?
No, I have not.
I think you should take a trip to the Nürburgring, just the location, the track, super wunderbar.
Wunderbar?
Yeah, wunder, very nice, very impressive. Okay, now we're going to shift gears and go back into motor racing at Nürburgring, not Hockenheimring. GP2, also known as?
Happy 2.
Yes. Marcus Ericsson rings his first win with Dam's team. Marcus drove a commanding race and was never seriously challenged. And I'll be looking, Bernie is calling us.
Bernie, I'm not going to listen to you anymore.
We're doing a podcast here, okay?
Okay, what were you saying now?
Yeah, Marcus, you know, I was chatting with his president of his fan club, Bouvet, and I look forward to meeting both Marcus and him again. We met at Sepang, and we're going to hook up again in Belgium. And he was telling me that he has fans all over the world, and fans from U.S. are like among the top five in terms of countries who are following Marcus Ericsson. So that's good. Okay, Marcus is from a small town in Sweden called Kumla, and in days gone by he was the champion in British BMW and Japanese F3, and is managed by fellow Swede and ex-Indy 500 winner Kenny Breck. Now in the tremendous battle, this, if people have not seen, you have to see this, between Stefano Coletti and Robin Friends in the closing stages. What a dramatic run from the final corner, not just the final lap, but from the final corner to the checkered flag between them and few others. Highly, highly recommended. I mean, this was fantastic motor racing. And I thought there will be harum scarum, a couple of people will not finish. But four guys just ganged up on each other after the final corner, and what a mad dash for the position. Very, very impressive. Please do check it out. And, you know, I watched last few GP2 races I watched on the VIPbox.tv. Is NBC showing this in America?
They are. Some of the races that they are showing, but unfortunately now with the Tour de France, that's dominating all their airtime.
Even at 4 in the morning?
Correct.
Interesting.
Well, Tour de France is in Europe, mm-hmm. So it starts at 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It sort of clashes with F1.
Yeah,
but luckily NBC has a lot of channels, CNBC, NBC Sports, so they can shift it around.
Yeah,
and accommodate us.
Yeah, a couple of these races started at 6 in the morning, so that was very, very convenient. So, but it's good to see young drivers duking it out. But this last corner German Grand Prix GP2 race, feature race, fantastic.
You're not watching the Tour de France?
A little bit here and there, but I do enjoy when they show aerial shot of the countryside. That I really enjoy in all places and all
the villages.
Yeah, very, very nice. I know you're going to invite me to your village in Avignon or wherever you settle. when you're 64.
Thank you.
Yeah, keep me posted, please. Okay, sprint race saw second win in 2 weeks for John Lancaster. This is interesting. You know, drivers spend 2-3 years trying to get a win. This guy has won 2 races in 2 weeks. He's a chap from Leeds in UK. He led from start to finish. Fellow Brit James Collado was second, with Swiss driver Fabio Limer third. Cousin Felipe Nasr was fourth. And talking of James Collado, you know, this week, Formula One testing at Silverstone, he will also be there. So we wish him well. He's a good talent, but somehow things are not happening. He did a very impressive job in his first year in GP2. Pretty much was up to speed with Esteban Gutierrez, who was in his second year. But somehow this year it's not going the same way, surprisingly. But he's a quick driver. Championship. Stefano Coletti of Monaco leads with 135 points. He made a very strong start to the season, but in the last 4 races scored points only in the German feature race. Felipe Nasr is second with 108 points. He has scored points in every race except the feature race at Silverstone. Sam Bird is third on 90 points. He only picked up a point from the Nürburgring round. Only just 1 point. And Sam Bird, is, as we have mentioned before, is under contract to Mercedes. He's getting up there in age to make his Formula One debut, but I think this is another cat who can do very well given the proper support like Maldonado and some other drivers. GP3, 8 races, 8 different winners. Surprise pole man on Saturday was Facundo Regalia of Argentina, also known as Facu Regalia. Winning race 1 of the weekend made him the first driver from his country to win in this series, and he's been around for quite a few years in junior Formula. Tio Alinas of Cyprus was second, and my understanding is that Cyprus is probably the only country in the world which has its map on its flag. So we have some non-motorsports education in Motorsports Mondial.
That's beautiful. I love education.
Yeah. Going back to the race, Jack Harvey was third. He is from Lincolnshire in England. He won the British F3 Championship last year and is supported by the Racing Steps Foundation. Good talent with good people around him. I will not be surprised if he makes it to Formula One. Sunday's race saw British driver capture the top 4 positions. Melvin McKee won the race, first for him and the team Bamboo Engineering. That's a name to have for a racing team.
That's a really bizarre name.
Yeah. Bamboo.
It's usually derogatory in this country.
Really?
Yes. Bamboo, in other words,
shaft.
Well, it's not that. It's more like, you know, jungle engineering, you know, out in the sticks, putting it together.
Okay. Maybe the owner is from Thailand. You never know.
That's very, very true. Or maybe his name is Bamboo.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Bamboo and Mrs. Bamboo.
Whoa.
See? You never thought of that,
yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Now it's getting exciting. Alexander Sims was second. Few years ago, he was duking out with Bottas in F3 Euro Series. And I remember very well, some years ago, I was at Hockenheim Ring, DTM race, and they used to do F3 Euro Series together. And I was chatting with Valtteri Bottas and his father. And it was it was after the first race and before the, you know, second and final race of the weekend. And I asked Bottas, are you set to get the... you know, rookie of the year. He said, well, I have to fight with Alexander Sims on that. And they were not far, you know, apart, but Bottas got the rookie of the year. It's interesting how careers take different paths. And you know what I find really interesting, Clark? Every now and then I log on to YouTube and, you know, trying to find a, let's just say, a GP2 race, and then somehow, you know, you'll see a 2006 GP2 race someplace or some other series, you know. And it's interesting you... either at the start when they are showing the grid or at the end when they're showing the result, you say, oh man, what happened to this guy? Sometimes the drivers are doing very good and then they just run out of steam, and steam in this business is moolah, moaning. Okay, Nick Yaloli was third. Lewis Williamson from Goldsby in Scotland, a young kid we have interviewed in the past, he was fourth. And Carlos Sainz Jr. of Viva España was the first non-Brit in the top 5. And I read just before coming to the Palatial Studios that Carlos Sainz Jr. is also testing. And I think he's testing for Toro Rosso. And I read somewhere, I think it was one of the Autosports, that Jenson Button had contacted Toro Rosso when Honda has closed the shop. And how lucky for him that the team Ross got bought out by Ross Brawn and he was signed on.
That changed everything. That changed his life.
Otherwise, he would be sitting here with one Grand Prix win. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay, senor. MotoGP from Sachsenring in Germany. Rookie Marc Marquez. Wow, how very impressive. He is on the LCH program, trying to become world champion in his rookie year and doing a very good job of it. On Sunday, he won for the second time this season on his Honda. He now leads the championship. Small lead, but still a championship lead. Cal Crutchlow was second on a Yamaha, followed by Valentino Rossi, also on a Yamaha. Both Danny Pedrosa and Jorge Lorenzo did not race due to injuries, and Lorenzo, I am told, will also miss Laguna Seca, which is coming up this weekend. Are you going there, sir?
No, sir.
I would like to go, but you know what they do is you have to park your car at University of California, Monterey campus or parking lot, and then you go on a bus, which, you know, I'm excited to get to the track, but, you know, coming back is a disaster. You're standing in line for an hour or so.
It could be warm.
Yeah. And it's just in this old age, I don't need that. But I hope they have a good race here. It's a fantastic location, fantastic track. And if anybody, any of our listeners are there, please send us some photos, especially of the MotoGP Grid Girls. They are mighty fine. IndyCar's doubleheader from Toronto. Scott Dixon from NZ, New Zealand, was the winner. Your man, Sebastian Bourdais, was second. Race two, more of the same, Dixon winning again. I like this two-race format, you know, sprint races. Fans get a good value for their money. I would rather have this kind of stuff than doing a two-and-a-half-hour race filled with caution and yellows and this and that.
What about tire fire?
Yeah, tire fire, too. As long as it's Pirelli tire fire, so there's something to talk about.
Well, we haven't had a Pirelli tire fire, and I'm really disappointed.
Yeah. Okay, DTM, this was bizarre what happened here. From the streets of Nürburgring, which is, you know, Nuremberg, all-Canadian front row with Robert Wickens on pole in his Mercedes. And, you know, he was at the Las Vegas SCUSA National Karting last November. Got to meet him there. And Bruno Spengler qualified second. He is French-Canadian, lives in Alsace in Francia, and he is driving for BMW. Victory number one in 11 years for Audi, driven by Matthias Ekstrom of Sweden. Wickens was second. But check this out. This is available on...
This was a bizarre incident.
This is bizarre, and please check it out on YouTube and DTM's own website, DTM.com. Celebrating victory with his 35th birthday, Ekstrom had water poured into his pocket, as can be seen on the web, and was excluded from the race. He is now appealing, singing, "Ich bin sorry, so sorry." His misery was Wickens' glory as he gets his first win, at least until the appeal is heard. I thought somebody just put a bottle in his pocket to increase the weight. And remember, Max Mosley once talked about this and everybody was laughing at him. And then I saw in the video, the guy puts the bottle. I don't know if he's trying to be funny or trying to increase weight. Then he's, you know, just pumping the bottle and squirting the water out. So it's a bizarre thing.
It is. When I read about it, I thought it was bizarre, and I assumed he was trying to increase the weight, and it wasn't part of the festivities.
No, but do you think it was to increase the weight?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, when Alexander Rossi, who by the way will also be in this week's Formula One test with Caterham, when he won the BMW World Finals in Mexico over Esteban Gutierrez and Michael Christensen, which was a tremendous, tremendous win. His father told me that he almost got disqualified. What happened when he came into the Parc Fermé, one of the, I don't know if it was from the team, but somebody from the, you know, organization basically touched the car just slightly. And, you know, you cannot touch car when
it's all a little over serious.
Yeah, but, you know, when you see something, I totally agree with you, but, you know, when you see something like this, hey, what it have, you know, it can increase the weight if you have a bottle filled with something. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm sure.
But who knows? But he's appealing, and let's see what happens.
Well, what we need to know, was he underweight?
Yeah.
That's all we need to know. If he wasn't, then it was poppycock.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Matthias Ekstrom even came to the U.S. and drove a couple of stock car races.
That's right. You know who else is testing, by the way?
Tell me.
Nicolas Prost.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, the way thing. Okay, we have to talk about Nicola Prost, when you talk about mega talent, people who would put LCH and Fettel into shame, then I have to bring up another name. Sauber was in deep financial doo-doo, as they say. Now they have received a lifeline of big money. We're talking over $100 million from Russian aviation research and technology, something like that. Northwestern Russian investment, something. Three out of three groups involved. And Sergei Sirotkin, his father happens to be the head honcho or probably the owner of the aviation technology, whatever it is. He's quick. There's no question about it. But there's a thing called being quick and being F1 quick and some experience to get into a Formula One seat. Now, in 2011, he won the Formula Abarth Euro Series, which is basically an Italian-based series. I don't know, 2-liter car, something like that. But winning is always good. And he won five wins out of 14 races. So that's good. 2012, AutoGP, he was third with 2 wins. Now, this is pretty impressive because AutoGP, they are using the A1GP cars. These are very powerful cars, and there are some decent drivers there. He only started motorsports in karting in 2008, and he will be 18 on August 27, next month. And they are pushing this guy for a seat in 2014. I mean, when will they learn? I mean, currently he's in World Series by Renault, also known as Formula Renault 3.5. He is 8th, but I looked at their own official website. 102 points behind championship leader Stoffel Vandoorne. So, maybe he's the key. Maybe he will turn out to be the Raikkonen of Russia. I don't know. And I hope this happens. But, I can take so many names over the years. The careers have been screwed. A very talented driver. I'll tell you, many, many years ago, we're talking about in the last, GP2 started in 2005, right? So since 2005, I remember watching, before GP2, when they had Formula 3000, getting up early morning, and they used to show these races before the F1 race, and there used to be a guy who was doing very good from Australia, Rob Nguyen, which is a very common Vietnamese name, Nguyen. And then he disappeared. And about a few years ago, I was doing some, research on some drivers, and his name popped up. And what had happened is, he was a kid who had no interest in racing. He was sent from Australia to Switzerland or someplace in Europe to study. He did very well. So, the family paid for a racing school in Austria, I believe it was. He was just super quick. I mean, they're just pure natural talent. And the team got involved, and they just pushed him through the system. And, he's gone. Crash and burn, It's and I hate to see that happening to talented drivers. And I don't know why they would do this to Sergei Sirotkin. I mean, if you have all the money, like I always say to papas when I'm talking to who have drivers who are doing well in karting, and I always say the same thing. The more talented the kid is, the more you need to slow him down going through the steps. Because if you go Formula Ford win a championship, Formula BMW 3-4 championships, you come to GP2, you have a lot of confidence, And I think that's what's going to help Romain Grosjean getting on a podium with Raikkonen and Sebastian Vettel. So you can do this thing. But pushing and shoving is not for a racing career, in my opinion.
Any news on the FIA European F3 Championship?
Yes, sir. They were also at Nürburgring, as part of the DTM package. 3 races, and they had some issues here also. 3 races, 3 winners, Rafael Marcello, Alex Lynn, and Felix Rosenquist. And Felix is the Swedish cat who also won the F3 Masters the previous weekend for the second time in 3 years. Marcello hangs on to championship lead over Rosenquist. And Marcello is tipped to be the next Jarno and Fisico, hopefully better, as Ferrari and Italy search for the next Alberto Ascari. Hard to believe, no Italian world champion since 1953. Happily, the story is very different in MotoGP, thanks to Signor Giacomo Agostini and Dottore Valentino Rossi. Some other news, Bruno Senna will race later this month in the Spa 24 Hours race, driving a McLaren MP4-12C for Von Ryan team. Si, senor.
Yes, and any comment on Josh Hill?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. But just going back to Bruno Senna, this Von Ryan team, this is Davey Ryan's team. And we know him from the Australian Grand Prix Ligate affair, right? he took the fall. Josh Hill, you know, has announced his retirement from motor racing, and he's going to go and pursue a career in music. So I think he's saving his Papito $500,000, $1 million a year now. But, you know, sure, he was not in the top five. He was in the field. But I, you know, it was very, very nostalgic for me as a racing fan to see that London Rowing Club helmet, which we saw win at Monaco, Indy, World Championship, Papa and Son. And I'm going to miss that because I've always liked that helmet, just like Jackie Stewart's helmet, you know, stands out. So that's my thought. What say you about him?
Well, I'm hoping that he'll succeed in music, and maybe they could, maybe him and Jacques Villeneuve could do a duet.
There you go. That's very good. And then by that time, Susie Wolf would have won a championship also, and then she can also be one of the Supremes.
And Haumi Al-Gashwari could use their music in one of his DJ.
Oh, yeah. That's another name that was rushed through the system.
Haumi, remember him?
Oh, yeah. I feel very bad for him because, you know, he was very good. He became the youngest British F3 champion, beating our Tom Petty of motorsports, Mr. Brendan Hartley. But finally, Clark, this is very, very, very important. NASCAR, it's 5 p.m. somewhere, and NASCAR race every weekend. So the boys and girls were running around somewhere last weekend, and for the second time this season, Danica Patrick and boyfriend Ricky Stenhouse were involved in some argy-bargy on the track. And you know, at F1 Weekly, we are here to help. So before this love fest gets too dusty, here is a little music to help them make it through the night after a tough day at the track.
Just a little love fest early in the morning beats a cup of coffee for starting off the day. Just a little love fest.
So much for best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Thank you very much.
Nas, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Any final words before I have Desiree read 50 words on the German Grand Prix?
Well, what can I say? Well, you know, I am looking forward to a trip to Spa-Francorchamps. And you know, names like Malmedy, Stavelot, Eau Rouge. You know, these are the names I grew up many, many years ago, thinking, dreaming about, and now I'm going to go to Heathrow next month, and in our European support vehicle, moi, Dr. Farrington, and Mr. Peter Brazier, we're going, crossing the channel for some motors. You know, it's so interesting. We will try to see if that everything aligns properly. We'll be passing through Dunkirk, and we'll try to stop by and meet Nicola Todd's employee, who's a friend of mine, Mr. Olivier Menu, and motor racing is going to be beautiful. And we'll see if we can maybe stop at Zolder, you know what happened there in 1982. So really, really looking forward to this trip. And a couple of our fans, our listeners will also be there. So we look forward to meeting and having Stella Artois or Peroni or whatever the flavor is.
Man, what happened to the host?
The host is going, I'm told, to the NASCAR race at Rockingham. Free hot dogs for you.
Thank you. That's pretty much how our budget figured it all out, didn't it?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, that's okay. I've been to Spa before, so it's best that you go this time.
Yes, sir. I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Outstanding. Okay, now here's Desiree with 50 words.
Guten Tag. Fräulein Desiree back again with 50 words on the German Grand Prix. This is the feature in which four members can write down their 50 words, and we will read it during the race cast. Let us start off with, our leader, Ye. Ye says, two more laps and the fastest car would have won. Why can't they fit a simple sensor that shows when the wheel nut is fully on and prevent the car pulling off? Thank you. Good thoughts as well. Leon Bray says, race actually had a bit of everything. Runaway winner and a runaway car. Loose wheel nut and a loose nut at the wheel, and a driver who admitted he made a mistake. Last to seventh wasn't a bad effort when most drivers would have just parked it in the garage. Again, exciting last laps and a race that ended a couple of laps too soon. From Neon Zapper, hello, says, so many questions from this race. Did the teams really put the tires on backwards at Silverstone? Would small remote-controlled cameras be sufficient in the busy pit lanes? When escaping a burning car, is it really necessary to re-engage the steering wheel on a car that will be removed by hoisting it in the air? And did Seb really admit that Kimi almost had him? Good one, thank you. And from the lovely Miguel, Portugal. The machines have started their revolt, even without the advent of Skynet. Mark's tire goes rogue, and Bianchi's Marussia goes AWOL. The robo-driver came second, but in the end, the human finger won. Thank you, a little mysterious there. And a couple of words from myself. I say, I wanted Kimi to overcome his German bogey with a win, but the German booger got it instead. Well, there you have it, and there you go. Dankeschön, bye-bye.
Thanks, Dez, for another outstanding job. Looking forward to Hungary. Any predictions, Nasser?
Yeah, Hungary, you know, it has produced some interesting races. They say the track is Mickey Mouse, but let's see what happens. I think the die has been cast for qualifying, that Mercedes will be very strong, at least for now in this championship. And all I can say is Sebastian Vettel will be there on the podium, and Nando is always there. Slipped out somehow in Germany. Like you said, it'll be nice to see a Lotus win and see what happens.
Maybe Jenson Button will win.
That's where he won his first, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's very surprising how McLaren is just like totally kaput.
It's finished.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah,
I don't think Mercedes is giving them any secrets.
No, that party is over. And I think with Honda coming back, that should be good. I mean, they want to win and they have a lot of resources. So, you know, it will be fun. And they'll be based in, the Honda Racing Program will be based in Milton Keynes, which is where I hang out when I'm in UK. Not too far from Mr. Brazier's palatial residence, I must say.
Thank you, Nasser. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Bye-bye.